and then I yawned. Traveling always knocked me out to begin with, plus I wasn't sleeping well at night lately. My back was leaning against Dex's front, and he brushed some hair off of my face after my yawn.
You're tired. You should get some sleep.
I am tired. That glass of wine was like a sleeping pill on top of my already sleepy head. Plus, my neck hurts from stress, and lying flat always helps that, too. I think it's time for bed.
I'll let you get some rest, then.
I turned to face him with my brow furrowed. You're not staying over?
Do you want me to stay over?
Of course I do. Dex let out a sigh of relief.
I'm glad, because it's been hell without you the last few nights.
Inside my bedroom, I changed into my usual tank and boy shorts, and Dex stripped to his boxers. While he slipped under the covers, I sat on the edge of my bed and took out some moisturizer from my nightstand to rub into my arms. After rubbing the lotion into one arm, Dex sat up and took it from my hands.
Here, let me.
The room was quiet, and the intimacy between us blossomed as he massaged the lotion into the skin on my arms. While I had just applied it enough to seep into my skin, Dex was giving me more of a massage. When his strong fingers worked their way up to my shoulder, I closed my eyes and let him rub away some of the stress.
God, that feels so good.
You're very tense, and your neck hurts. Why don't I use the lotion and rub your shoulders for a bit?
I'd love that. Dex sat up with his back against my headboard and positioned me between his legs. He gently nudged my head forward to drop toward my chest and scooped my hair to one side. Then his hands disappeared for a moment, and seconds later, a dollop of icy moisturizer hit my skin.
That's cold.
I could provide some warm cream if you prefer.
Dex's tone was playful, but at the same time it was also husky, and I heard the need in his voice.
You're such a pig.
He chuckled and he massaged my neck.
As long as I'm being a pig, I might as well admit that I have a recurring fantasy about rubbing a certain warm cream into this beautiful skin.
His fingers worked on a knot at the apex of my shoulder where it met my neck. Loosening it, my head dropped down a little lower.
Oh, yeah?
And where exactly would you be rubbing this cream? Dex's fingers slowed.
You really want me to tell you?
Of course. His fingers came to a complete stop, and his voice was low as he leaned forward to whisper. His warm breath tickled my neck.
Sometimes when I'm in the shower, I envision myself coming all over your tits and rubbing it in.
When I didn't immediately respond, Dex must have taken that as a sign that what he'd told me made me uncomfortable. Which it did, but not the kind of uncomfortable he was thinking. The discomfort was from the growing swell that ached between my legs.
Should I have kept that to myself?
He asked. I swallowed and whispered, No, actually. Tell me more.
You want to hear more about how I fantasize about you?
I do. Dex was quiet for a moment, and then his fingers began to rub again.
I think of you lying on your back, your hands squeezing those beautiful tits together while I straddle your chest and slip my cock between them.
I wiggled between his legs and felt his hard-on up against my ass. You want to know what I think about when I fantasize about you?
I'd empty my bank account and sign over my penthouse to hear you tell me your fantasies right now.
I chuckled. Well, it starts with you opening... My deviant, fictional adventure was put on hold when Dex's cell phone started to ring.
Ignore it, he said. Go on.
But it's sort of late. Almost 10 o'clock. Don't you want to even see who it is? His response came so fast it made me laugh.
No.
After a few more rings, the cell phone quieted. Dex prompted me to continue.
So, where were you? What am I opening? The door, my pants, your pants, a bag, handcuffs. Don't leave me hanging here.
I giggled. Okay, well, I had this one sort of daydream where you open... As if on cue, Dex's cell phone started to ring again. The damn thing was vibrating and jumping around on the end table.
Maybe you should get that.
No. At least see who it is. Begrudgingly, Dex reached for his phone. He stared at the screen for a ring before speaking.
It's my father's wife, Myra.
Aren't they in the Caribbean? Why would she be calling? And so late?
Dex swiped and brought the phone to his ear with a huff. I listened to one side of the conversation. His body immediately stiffened.
What happened? When? Where is he?
My heart sank, waiting to find out the details, but it was clear whatever it was not good. After he hung up, Dex immediately got up from the bed and started pacing back and forth. I was almost afraid to ask.
What happened?
My father. He had a massive heart attack.
Oh my God, is he?
He's in CCU. He's alive, but hasn't woken up yet.
In Turks?
It happened on a plane. Apparently he hadn't been feeling well, and they decided to come home early so he could see his doctor. Happened a few minutes before they were landing in Florida tonight.
I'm so sorry. Dex ran his fingers through his hair.
I need to go down there. First flight in the morning.
I'll go with you. He looked at me.
You sure?
I want to be there for you. After a few heartbeats, he nodded. Then he proceeded to pick up the phone and call the airline. While he barked into the phone, I put away the moisturizer he'd been massaging me with and went to the kitchen to get a drink of water. Standing at the kitchen counter, it dawned on me for the first time. I was about to meet my biological father. Maybe. I needed wine instead.
Chapter 30. Bianca. Dex was quiet the entire flight down to Florida. He'd spoken to Myra first thing this morning while we were headed to the airport and found out that his father needed a triple bypass, along with a valve replacement. His heart was weak after the massive heart attack, but they couldn't waste time because of the 99% blockage. Surgery was scheduled for this afternoon. When we arrived at Good Samaritan Medical Center, Dex already knew the room number, so we breezed right past the line at the patient information desk and followed the signs for the elevator. It wasn't until the doors closed that I had really given any thought to what my showing up might do to Dex Sr. Up until then, I'd been only focusing on wanting to support Dex. Maybe I should wait out in the hall when you go in to see him. Dex was normally so present, so aware of everything around him. It was odd to see him in a fog.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
I said maybe it would be better if I didn't go in to see him with you. I could just wait in the hall.
Is that what you want, or what you think is best for him?
I don't want to upset him. Dex took my hand and nodded as the elevator doors slid open.
You're coming in with me.
Dex Sr.'s wife was in the hall outside of CCU, talking to a doctor. When we approached, they turned to us. Myra forced a smile. Hi, Dex. Thank you for coming.
Of course.
Dr. Sharma, this is Dex's son, Dex Jr. The doctor nodded. Then Myra looked to me. I extended my hand. Bianca George, I'm a friend of Dex's. I'm sorry about your husband's health. The doctor looked at his watch.
I was just about to go in and visit with your father. You're welcome to join while I review his morning stats.
Dex nodded. Dr. Sharma turned to me.
I'm sorry, but CCU is limited to family members, so you'll need to wait out here.
I saw Dex's face and braced for it. He pulled me close to his side.
Bianca is my girlfriend, but there's also a pretty good chance she's his daughter. So, she'll be joining us.
Not knowing how to respond to that, the doctor motioned us to follow him inside. Even though he was paler than I imagined he normally was, and he had monitor lines and IVs hooked up all over, I would have recognized Dex Sr. anywhere. He looked just like my sister, even more so in person than he did in the pictures. His eyes caught on Dex first. There was a moment of surprise at seeing him, and I thought it might be happiness. But the light in his eyes quickly extinguished when he looked at me standing next to him, a real-life reminder that darkness in the past always comes into the light, frequently at the worst times.
Dad? Dex nodded.
His father attempted to take the oxygen mask off his face, but the doctor stopped him.
You need to leave that on, Mr. Truitt.
Dr. Sharma then went on to examine the chart and immediately began talking about the risks of the heart procedure Dex's father was about to undergo. I thought all of us were listening intently until I felt Dex Sr. staring at me. As I turned to meet his eyes, he gave me a soft smile. Then he looked to the man standing next to me, who I realized was no longer listening to the doctor either, but instead watching the interaction between the two of us. When Dex Sr. lifted his weak hand in my direction for me to take, I didn't know what to do. My eyes flitted back and forth between the two men, looking for someone to give me the answer. We hadn't talked about it since last night, but it was that moment that I knew. Taking his hand in mine, I needed to know if this man was my father. We stayed at the hospital the entire time Dex Sr. was in surgery. When Dr. Sharma finally came out to tell us that the procedure was a success, Dex and I let out a collective sigh. Dex planted a relieved kiss on my lips. The doctor looked confused. I think he'd given up on trying to figure out our relation to one another.
"Can we see him?" Dex asked.
"His wife is in there now. I would say wait a little bit, since he's still waking up. Give it about a half hour."
Myra eventually came out to let us know that it was okay to go in and said her husband had actually asked to see us. My heart was racing as we entered the recovery room.
"How are you feeling, Dad?"
He swallowed, seeming like his mouth was parched.
"I've been better."
"Well, the operation went well. I'm really glad to hear it."
Dex Sr. turned his head toward me.
"I can't get over it. Before I went under, I thought you were her. You look like just your mother."
"Yes, many people tell me that." His voice was groggy, but he continued to force out the words.
"I really did care for her. There were a lot of women who passed through my life. Most of them were forgettable. But I will never forget Eleni."
He looked at Dex for a moment, then said,
"My son has the same look in his eyes now, the one I had whenever I was with her. Except what you have going on here seems to be even stronger."
"Dad, don't talk too much. You'll waste your energy."
"No, I have to say this."
Dex blew out a breath.
"All right."
His father reached for my hand as he addressed both of us.
"I'm sorry about this situation. I'll do whatever you need me to do. Nearly dying has put a lot into perspective. I'd really like to know the truth. Mostly for you, but also for me."
Dex was quick to say,
"Well, you need some time to recover before we deal with that."
"Nonsense. All they need to do is swab my cheek. You get the guy in here today, and do it while you're still down here. No sense in stalling."
He seemed troubled by his father's insistence.
"We haven't decided 100% on the test."
Still holding his father's hand, I made sure I was looking Dex straight in the eyes when I said, "Yes, we have."
"We have?"
"Yes, Dex. We need to do it." He just kept nodding and blinking, as if realizing he'd just given up on a losing battle.
"Okay."
About an hour later, someone from the lab came in to take our samples. The entire time my cheek was swabbed, I was looking deeply into Dex's penetrating eyes while I silently prayed for a favorable outcome. Dex then called the main lab where my sister's sample had been sent, and they informed him that it would take about 2 days for all of the results. I knew they would be the longest 2 days of my life. We decided to stay in Palm Beach until the results came in. That way, in the event that it turned out Dex Sr. was my biological father, he and I could have a moment to absorb the news together. My sister opted to stay in New York since her husband couldn't take time off from work. She felt she'd need his support more than anything. After I called Bandit's doggy daycare to let them know we'd need to extend his staycation, I spent a good part of that evening on the phone with my father, as he assured me that regardless of the outcome, nothing would change between us, that I would always be his little girl and the love of his life. When I'd finally gotten up the nerve to have the conversation with my dad, he had admitted that he always questioned Alexandra's paternity in particular over the years, but he'd ultimately decided not to pursue testing because he felt it wouldn't have changed anything in his mind or heart. Dex and I ended up spending the night at his father's guest house, which was adjacent to the Truitt's main waterfront property. So exhausted from the long day at the hospital, I relaxed into Dex's arms. The mood was somber as we fell asleep in the king-sized bed, listening to the sound of the waves crashing just outside the French doors. The following morning, he snuck up behind me as I was looking out at the ocean from the patio. He handed me a mug of freshly brewed coffee.
How are you feeling?
Sort of numb.
I know what you mean. It feels like a shock. I went from preparing myself to possibly never find out, to now inevitably dealing with the truth as soon as tomorrow.
We couldn't have lived like that. We would have always wondered.
I think deep down I knew that, but I still didn't want to believe it.
Dex suddenly looked panicked.
We can't waste these last hours, Bianca. I feel like we need to not let a second pass us by unnoticed.
What do you want to do?
We have a huge day ahead.
We do?
Fuck yes. They said the results could potentially be in tomorrow. That means today could be the last full day that we're living in ignorant bliss. I feel like I need to give you a lifetime today.
What does that mean?
It means there are certain things that I want to see and do with you while you're still my Bianca, in case I never get a chance to experience them. Although, the one thing I really need to do, I can't.
What are we going to do?
I want to take you to a few different places.
Chapter 31. Dex. I'd made some phone calls to area businesses while Bianca showered and got dressed. The Truitt name was well known on the island, so I had no trouble getting people to cooperate with my plans. Our first stop was Worth Avenue, which was Palm Beach's version of Rodeo Drive. Bianca wasn't very materialistic, but that didn't stop me from wanting to shower her with the best that money could buy. A lifetime. I had to give her a lifetime today, just in case. We'd parked and were strolling along the sidewalk looking in the windows of the upscale shops. Her face turned red when I intentionally stopped in front of Tiffany's. Seeming to read my guilty expression, she asked, "What are you up to, Dex Truitt?" "Wait right out here, okay?" Once inside, I raced to the first person I saw. "Can I help you?" "Yes, I'm looking for Julia." She and I spoke over the phone. Moments later, an older blonde woman approached. "Hi, Mr. Truitt. I have it right here. If for some reason it doesn't fit, just bring her back in today and we can resize it." "Perfect. Thank you." With the small blue gift bag in hand, I ventured back outside to find Bianca waiting for me, looking perplexed. "What's in the bag, Dex?" I wasted no time getting to the point. "Okay, first off, I want you to know that this isn't a proposal. I'm hopeful if things turn out okay, I can do that the right way someday. I want to really appreciate that moment without this cloud hanging over us. But I wanted to give you something now that you will always remember me by." I took the small box out and opened it, showcasing the nearly 3-carat diamond eternity band. The bright sunlight beamed over the diamonds, causing them to really shine. "I'm not getting down on one knee today because I want to keep that option open for later. No matter what the outcome is tomorrow, you're going to be a Truitt. I want you to wear this and always remember me. Remember the time we've had together. Whether I can compliment this someday with another ring or whether it stands alone as a symbol of what never could be, this eternity band represents my eternal love and respect for you, Bianca." I placed it on her finger. It fit perfectly. My earlier estimate of her ring size was right on the money. That was pure fate, kind of like this whole experience. She looked down at the sparkling gems, seeming shocked as I continued. "Today isn't our wedding day, but it's our day, and we're going to celebrate what we do have today. There's going to be cake and a pretty white dress and some frolicking on the beach, and we're going to spend every moment together." Overcome with emotion, she reached up and hugged me tightly. "I don't even know what to say that will do this gesture justice, except that I will proudly wear this forever." Taking her bejeweled hand in mine, I kissed it hard. "Now, let's go have some fun." We were right on time for the noon appointment I'd made at the posh boutique. The owner took Bianca upstairs to look at their selection of garments. I'd told the woman to pull all of the white dresses in the place before Bianca's arrival. Since this wasn't an actual wedding, just a celebration, I suggested she bring out more casual dresses as opposed to formal evening gowns. But the choice was Bianca's. My only condition was that I wanted to see her in white. You know, just in case this was all we would have. Much to my dismay, they wouldn't allow me upstairs in the all-female dressing area. I waited down on the lower level, mindlessly flipping through the pages of a bridal magazine and talking to the pictures inside. Bianca's way prettier. Flip. Dude, would you still marry her if there was a chance she could be your sister? Not an easy decision, is it? Flip. Oh, what's this? A facial is a great way to relax on the morning of your wedding? Well, I couldn't agree more. I closed the magazine suddenly when my eyes caught Bianca slowly making her way down the winding staircase. The sight of her in the dress she'd chosen took my breath away. But what made my heart want to combust even more was the huge smile plastered all over her face. It was so full of hope and optimism, beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time. Good idea, Dex. This was a good way to help her take her mind off things. I prayed that nothing would ever happen to take that smile away. You look stunning. With a humble expression, she looked down at herself. It's simple. I didn't want to go overboard. This one just felt right. The dress Bianca had chosen was strapless, fitted at the waist and flaring out at the bottom just above her knees. It's perfect. Get this, she smiled. Guess what the name of this design is? The dresses have names? Yes, she laughed. This one is called La Bandita. A wide grin spread across my face. Bandit Boy is here in spirit. I love that. Thank you for this experience. It was very pretty woman. I could never repay you for what you've given me. I leaned in and planted a soft kiss on her lips. She stretched out her arms. So I'm all dressed up. Where to next? You'll have to wait to find out. I winked. Driving away in our rented convertible, I felt high on life. Bianca's hair was blowing in the warm wind. Our hands were interlocked. Pulling up in front of our destination, I had to parallel park. Whether the car would actually fit into the space was questionable, but I slid it right in. You have mad parking skills, Truett. It was tight, but I managed to get it in. By the good grace of God, you'll find out more where that's concerned soon enough. I winked. Always the dirty mind, she chuckled. And for the record, I certainly hope you're right. Bianca finally noticed that we'd parked in front of a bakery. Is this where we have cake? Yes, but not just one cake. We're going to taste many different kinds. You set up a wedding cake tasting? Sure, why not? Don't you have to commit to ordering one in order to do that? Probably. So I'll order one and have them deliver it to my father. That'll be real good for his heart, she said sarcastically. Okay, how about this? I'll put down a deposit and we'll order it to be made a year from now. If all goes well, we come back down and pick up our cake. She reached for my hand. That sounds like a plan. Ganache patisserie smelled like an explosion of sugar with a hint of amaretto. Multi-tiered cakes of various pastel colors were displayed in glass cases. A woman greeted us and took Bianca and me into a back room. She poured us some tea and laid out several slices of cake on the table. You can sample them in any order. There's a pad of paper and pen you can use to rate each flavor. They're all labeled. Hopefully you can come to a unanimous decision in the end. Do couples actually bicker about which flavor to choose? Bianca asked. Oh, yes. You'd be surprised how much bargaining goes into this. You have the option to choose different flavors for each layer, though. There are typically three, so you can always compromise. Bianca and I began sampling. We were having a blast feeding each other, and it brought back memories of my first date with her as Jay at the Ethiopian place. I dipped my finger in the frosting, then rub it on her nose. I think we made the woman uncomfortable. I could only imagine how awkward she would have felt if she also knew the truth about what was really going on with us. She finally got up to give us a bit of privacy. When Bianca licked some frosting off her lips, my dick twitched. My mother used to bake cakes for friends' birthdays in her spare time, she said. I used to enjoy helping her. Of course, the best part was licking the spoon. I bet you're fantastic at licking the spoon. Was it a wooden spoon by any chance? As a matter of fact, it was. Big piece of wood. I grabbed the spoon I'd used to stir my tea. Show me how you licked it. The woman returned. How do you like the carrot cake? Bianca looked at me. It's very moist. I bet it is, I muttered. Are you getting any closer to narrowing it down? The woman asked. Well, it's quite hard, I said. Bianca grabbed my knee under the table. When the woman walked away again, we both broke out into laughter before vowing to try to take the process a bit more seriously. About 15 minutes later, the woman returned. How are we doing? Bianca smiled. We've decided on the vanilla cake with buttercream frosting for the bottom layer. For the middle layer, we're going to go with the lemon, also with the buttercream. And for the top, we'd like the vanilla with strawberry preserve, buttercream all the way. Kissing Bianca's ear, I said, I know you love the cream. The lady cleared her throat. Let me go grab the book. We'll choose a design and put the order in for you. When she returned with a catalog of cake designs, Bianca pointed to a particular one. Ah, look, balls. Just like our first meeting. She turned to the woman. What about the one with the balls? You like this design? This is one we do where we actually decorate around the cake with cake pops. We strategically stick the pops in various parts of the cake. And the best part is, everything is edible. I grinned. All I heard was strategically sticking shit in various parts and edible. I'm good. You two are quite the pair, definitely made for each other, the woman said. Squeezing Bianca's thigh, I grinned proudly. Why, thank you. She took out her pen. Okay, so when is the wedding date? There was dead silence for several seconds until I answered. It's 1 year from today, actually. Oh, how perfect. We'll just need 50% down now, and then the balance will just need to be remitted on delivery. After I handed over my credit card, we were left alone for a bit, and I noticed that Bianca suddenly looked somber. What's wrong? It feels real. I wish it was. Fuck. This was backfiring. Maybe I took this too far. No, I just got a little emotional when she wrote down the date. Before we could say anything further, the woman returned with my card and a receipt. All set, Mr. Truitt. You can call us anytime with the venue location so that we can arrange for a delivery time on the morning of. Bianca remained quiet as we walked out of the shop. I couldn't take it anymore. I pulled her into a tight embrace on the sidewalk and whispered in her ear, We have to stay optimistic. It's hard not to want to prepare myself for disappointment. It just seems too good to be true that we could dodge this bullet. I have to believe. It's all that's getting me through today. I have to believe that this time next year, I'm going to have my cake and eat you too. I laughed because the funny thing was, I hadn't even meant for it to come out that way. Eat you too. It just did. Must have been subliminal. She smacked my arm playfully. I'm glad you're still finding humor in all of this. Gotta laugh so I don't cry, beautiful. I meant that. We spent the rest of the afternoon on the private stretch of beach off the guest house. As the sun set, it felt like the curtain was slowly closing on our time together. Bianca was still wearing her white dress, which was now covered in dirt, water, and sand. I wanted to burn the image into memory. I don't want to sleep tonight, she said. I feel like I just want to stay up all night. Who needs sleep? I grabbed her hand. May I have this dance? No music was required as we slowly swayed to the sounds of the beach. We rocked back and forth until the sun completely went down, then stayed up and talked, vowing not to fall into slumber. Sleep eventually won out, though, as we later crashed in each other's arms on the sand. The sound of the seagulls woke us up the next morning. Looking like we'd washed ashore, we'd slept in surprisingly late. We must have both been exhausted from forcing ourselves to stay up. As we sat up on the sand, I wrapped my arms around her body from behind. So, you never finished your sentence, I said. What? You know, before we flew down here, you started telling me about your sexual fantasy. You said it started with me opening something. I need to know the rest. I should have known you wouldn't forget about that. Not a chance. I have to live vicariously through the fantasy version of myself right now. My jealousy in regards to fantasy decks is worse than it was for that tool, Jay. Okay. So, anyway, It starts with you opening, my phone rang, interrupting her. Are you fucking kidding me? I groaned. I think you're destined not to find out, Truett. I'd better get this, in case, you know. She sat up suddenly. Take it, I answered. Dex Truett. Hi, Mr. Truett. This is Erica Raymond from Leominster Laboratories. My heart began to palpitate. Okay, yes? Your results are in.
Chapter 32. Bianca. I thought I might throw up, or pass out, maybe even one right before the other. Oh God, what if I passed out first and then vomited while I was unconscious? I stood and started pacing in the sand. My skin was clammy, and from the look on Dex's face, I must have turned pale. He spoke into the phone. Can you please hold for a moment? Covering the receiver, he asked, Are you okay? You should sit down. I don't like the way you look right now. I don't like the way I feel right now either. Dex returned to the call. Erica. Did you say your name was Erica? I heard the yes, even though the phone was pressed to his ear. Listen, I need to go somewhere more private. Would it be possible for me to call you back in, say, 5 minutes? He was quiet for a moment, then said, Okay, yes. The number came in on my caller ID. I'll ask for extension 283. It'll just be a few minutes, and I'd appreciate it if you could stand by for my call. Silence again, then finally, Okay, thank you very much. After he swiped to end the call, Dex put one hand on the small of my back. Come on, let's go inside. I think we should talk for a few minutes before we do this. In a fog, I let Dex guide me inside to our room. I'd been so sure of myself, so anxious to know the truth, and now that it was within reach, I suddenly wanted to run in the other direction. I need more time. Dex led me to the bed and sat me on the edge. I'd heard the term numb before, but I'd never actually experienced it. In my life, stress meant palpitations, playing with my balls, and yelling at the top of my lungs. But this stress was entirely different. I couldn't feel my toes. I actually looked down and wiggled them to make sure I could still do it. Dex kneeled before me and cupped my face in both hands. You sure you want to do this? I'm not sure of anything right at the given moment. I let out an audible sigh. My name is Bianca, right? Dex smiled. That's right. And mine is Jay. Somehow his silly comment seemed to bring me back to reality. I smiled back and looked Dex in the eyes for a long while. What was staring back at me was absolutely beautiful. Not the man himself, but looking into his eyes, I saw love in its purest form. It was honest and open and willing to give me anything I wanted. As much as it took my breath away, it also reminded me that I needed to know. I wanted that love unconditionally, and not knowing would always have that question mark out there. I didn't even feel the tears start to fall until Dex used his thumbs to wipe them away. He closed his eyes and accepted the decision I'd made without me having to say it out loud. Tell me how you want to do this. Do you want to know about yourself first, or your sister? I pondered it for a minute. It's Saturday, and Alexandra and the girls are probably at ballet. Why don't we find out about my results first, and then take some time to absorb that before we find out about Alex? I don't think I can handle both at the same time. All right, then that's what we'll do. He squeezed my hand. You sure you're okay? You're not going to pass out on me, are you? I think I'm good. I took a deep, cleansing breath, then nodded. Go ahead. I'm ready to make the call now. I will. In a minute. There's something I need to do first. What's that? This. His mouth crashed down on mine. He kissed me with so much passion, so much intense feeling that when it finally broke, I was crying again. God, I'm a disaster. Laughing through my tears as I wiped them away, I said, I'm sorry. These are happy tears.
You don't look very happy at the moment.
I leaned my forehead against Dex's. Oddly, I am. I love you, Dexter Truett.
I love you too, Bianca. More than I can even understand.
I didn't ask what Dex was doing over the next minute, but I closed my eyes and said a prayer. When I opened mine, his were still closed, and his lips were moving a little. I was pretty sure we were making the same request of the big guy in the sky. Eventually, he squeezed my hand one more time, and then picked up his phone. I took a deep breath and held it while he dialed.
May I have extension 283, please?
I heard the woman through the receiver, but couldn't make out what she was saying on the other end this time.
Yes, Erica. This is Dex Truitt calling back for the results. Only, we'd like to have the results from the paternity test between Dexter Truitt and Bianca Georgakopoulos at this time. We'd like to call back for the results between Alexandra Fiore and Dexter Truitt a little later.
I got up from the bed and started pacing. Dex read the security code we were given by the technician and again confirmed he would only be hearing one result at this time. When he was done, Dex looked up at me as he spoke into the phone.
Yes, I'm ready.
After what seemed like forever, but was probably only 30 seconds of quiet, Dex's eyes closed. He cleared his throat.
And what is the accuracy of those results?
I see.
Thank you very much. We'll call back for the other results soon.
My heart clenched in my chest when I saw the look on Dex's face. It was his turn to lose it. Tears were streaming down his face as he walked toward me.
Say it, I whispered. Just say it.
The next thing I knew, I was lifted into the air and being cradled in Dex's arms.
The odds of you being my sister are exactly 0.00%.
What?
Did he just say what I think he said?
You heard me right. We're not related, Bianca.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
My hand flew to my chest. My poor heart was beating so fast it felt like it could explode.
Are you serious? Are you sure?
I've never been more serious in my life, and I'd say that 0.00% chance is pretty fucking certain. Thank Christ.
Leaning in, I pressed my lips to Dex's.
We're not related. We're really not related.
I kept repeating it over and over like some sort of mantra, but in truth, I needed to keep hearing it to let the enormity of it sink in. Dex's face was damp with tears when he set me down on the bed. While I was completely overwhelmed with relief, Dex suddenly seemed to have the opposite feeling. An intense look of need and determination washed over his face. He began to strip out of his clothes with urgency. When he was down to his boxers, I stopped him.
Wait.
I don't think I'm capable of waiting any longer. I need to be inside of you, Bianca. Call me an asshole if you want, but I have the urge to mark you. Sink my teeth into your skin to brand you as mine, and then come so hard inside of you that parts of me will never find their way out again.
I swallowed.
Jesus, Dex.
Too much truth?
Not at all. It's the sexiest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's just that I want to do something for you.
Can it wait until after I do something for you?
He'd set me in the middle of the bed, but reached for my legs and yanked me to the edge where he was standing.
Multiple times. Can it wait until after I do something for you? Multiple times.
I giggled, but climbed off the bed.
Sit. Dexter, not my brother, Truitt. Sit down.
He pouted, but complied. Sitting on the edge of the bed, his huge erection was straining through his boxer briefs. I began to unbutton my blouse slowly. We haven't talked about it before, but I'm on the pill.
Thank fuck. Because I need to feel you skin to skin, and I'll never be able to pull out once I bury myself inside. We might be sleeping with my cock still inside of you tonight.
After I slipped off my shirt, I shimmied out of my pants and stood before Dex, letting him take his time looking at me. His patience was dwindling when he reached for me, and I took a step back.
Not yet.
He groaned in frustration, but gripped the sides of the bed. I reached behind my back and unhooked my bra. A few shakes of my shoulders, and it slipped to the floor. Dex swallowed. His chest was rising and falling in deep heaves.
You're fucking beautiful.
Thank you.
I left my panties on and stepped closer to him before dropping to my knees.
Bianca, I can't.
I mean, you can't. I'll not last 10 seconds with your mouth on me.
Good, because I wasn't going to use my mouth on you. With a devious smile, I squeezed my breasts together, giving him a hint what my plans were. Take off your boxers, Mr. Truitt.
I won't last like that either, Bianca. I've been dreaming about slipping my cock between those beautiful tits for too long. I want to come all over them, but the next time I come, it's going to be inside of you.
With one swift motion, somehow Dex lifted me from kneeling, swung me up and onto the bed, and was hovering over me.
Thank you for wanting to give me my fantasy. It means a lot to me that you would offer that before even finding your own release.
I want nothing more than to play out every deviant fantasy that is in your head. I plan to spend lots of time exploring the depths of your perviness, Mr. Truitt. Dex maneuvered out of his underwear without breaking contact, and his rigid cock was hot against my skin. I could actually feel it throbbing against my stomach. We'd been waiting so long, I couldn't take it another second. Spreading my legs underneath him, he shifted into position, and then held my eyes as he slowly pushed inside. Every inch he eased in, my heart opened wider. This was it. It felt so unbelievably incredible to finally have the last part of him inside me. He'd been in my heart since the first time I met him. Now it was the physical connection at last. I realized that this was what it truly felt like to consummate a relationship. Dex moved in and out gently, taking his time to stretch my body to accept his girth. It was beautiful and sweet, but I could tell he was holding back. Encouraging him to let go, I wrapped my arms around him and dug my fingernails into his ass. His pupils dilated. Fuck. That did the trick. His head lowered and he bit down on my right breast hard as he sped up his pace. It was definitely going to leave a mark, and I wanted that, to be marked by him in every way. Fuck. Fuck. He groaned as his mouth moved to my neck, where he sucked and bit while winding fistfuls of my hair in his hands. I moaned when he tugged at it. Everything else in the background faded away, except the sound of our jagged breathing and wet bodies slapping together as he thrust deeper and deeper inside of me.
I'm gonna fill up this tight pussy, Bianca.
He pulled his head back to look at me, and that was all it took. My body had already been humming along, but my orgasm hit me head on. I called out his name over and over as my muscles pulsated around his thick cock. Just when I thought my pleasure had crested, Dex drove into me faster and deeper, letting out a sexy groan as he released inside of me, which, in turn, sent my body riding a new wave of pulses as we came simultaneously together.
Catching our breath, Dex kissed me gently on the lips. He was still semi-hard inside of me as he leisurely glided in and out. I love you, Bianca.
I love you, too.
We took some crazy path to get here, but it's made me realize just how much I'd do to keep you in my life. For what it's worth, I had no plans to let you go, even if it turned out you were my sister.
Oh, really? And what exactly were you going to do to get me to stay?
Let's just say, I've been doing my research.
I squinted. What are you talking about?
Full siblings share 50% of their DNA. Half-siblings only share an average of 25% of their DNA. It's not technically inbreeding. It's called line breeding.
You were going to try to sell me on the scientific aspects of sleeping with my brother?
Of course not.
Oh.
I set up an appointment with a genetics counselor to do that.
Are you joking?
And maybe a psychologist, too.
He laughed, but I knew he was telling the truth. You're crazy.
Crazy in love with you, Georgie girl. Crazy in love with you.
Epilogue. Dex. Everything turned out the way it was supposed to, didn't it? And we didn't even have to move to Europe. My driver called out, "Did you say something, Mr. Truitt?" No, Sam, I'm talking to Bandit. I rubbed behind my dog's ears. So, anyway, as I was saying, everything worked out. You didn't end up at that farm upstate, Neither one of us is screwing our sister, although whatever happened with you in the past is in the past, eh? Your secrets are safe with me. Roof! And now, there's so much more to look forward to. We finally pulled up to our destination. I knew it was a little strange to be bringing a dog to a ribbon-cutting ceremony, but he was an important part of the family. I wouldn't have had it any other way. Holding on to Bandit's leash, I breathed in the not-so-fresh Brooklyn air and looked up at the sign that read, The Jelani Okiro Arts and Cultural Center. Filled with pride, I couldn't wait to show Bianca what we'd done to this place. Bandit and I took the elevator up to the second floor to find Alexandra standing in the foyer. She was holding a clipboard and grinning at us. How's my sister from the same mister? I smiled. Great, brother from another mother. No one from the press has arrived yet, by the way. Good. I clapped my hands together. That gives us some extra time to make sure everything is in place. Yes, we need all the time we can get. After I set Bandit up with some water in one of the spare rooms, I returned to where my sister was standing and could sense that she was tense. You okay? I'm a little nervous to see him again. I nodded sympathetically. I know you are. Alex would be seeing our father today. He and Myra were in town and planned to stop by the center. Even though it had been a few years since we'd found out the results of the test, Alex had only spent a minimal amount of time with Dexter Sr. It was never comfortable or easy for her. And in all the ways that mattered, she still considered Tasso her true father. About a year ago, I hired Alex as a special projects manager at Montague. One of her more recent assignments had been to oversee the development of the art center that was built in honor of Jelani. He'd passed away about 6 months after Bianca and I returned from that fateful trip to Palm Beach. His colon cancer had metastasized, despite all of his treatments. When things took a turn for the worse, Bianca and I visited him every day. I think my friend even had a little crush on my Greek goddess. Not that I could blame him. Shortly before he died, I told him of my plans to continue his legacy. Even though he was resistant to the attention, he'd allowed me to bring a photographer in to document our final whittling sessions. Large, framed black and white images of Jelani's hands in action were now placed in various spots around the center, along with Kenyan-themed artwork. Jelani left me all of the wooden sculptures he'd ever made. We had them displayed in glass cases throughout the place. The center featured a woodshop for whittling in addition to other art and music rooms. The nonprofit would welcome children and teenagers from all over the borough. All staff would be funded and employed by Montague Enterprises, while some supplies and other expenses would be funded through charitable sponsors. Alex tapped her pencil against the clipboard. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I got that Clement kid to agree to fly here one weekend and do a whittling workshop like you asked. No shit. I'll get to meet my little YouTube nemesis in person. Although, he's not so little anymore. Finally going through puberty. Makes it a bit more appropriate to be in competition with him now. She laughed. Where's Bianca? Sam went back to get them. She was running late. Understandable. Alex and I spent the next 15 minutes making sure all of the rooms were in pristine shape. Back out in the foyer, I asked, Are Hope and Faith coming? Yeah, Brian's bringing them. Good. They'll love it here. She looked beyond my shoulders. There's Bianca now. It was amazing what the mere mention of my wife's name did to me. The second the word Bianca exited Alex's mouth, the moment brightened for me. That feeling pretty much summed up my entire life now. I turned around to find my gorgeous woman all dressed up. She looked nothing like someone who'd been up last night with a sick 2-year-old. I knelt down, prompting my daughter to come to me. My heart melted every time she'd eagerly run toward me with excitement in her eyes, like there was nothing more she needed in the world than to be in her daddy's arms. Lifting her up, I kissed her cheek and whispered in her ear, I wasn't sure you'd make it, Georgina Bina. The Motrin is kicking in, Bianca smiled. I didn't want her to miss this. I know you have the photographer coming. I'm glad she's here. Are Mom and Dad going to make it? Alex asked. Bianca shook her head. No, Dex and I invited them, but neither was comfortable confronting Dexter Sr. Even though Bianca's parents' relationship was strained over the years, in recent months, they'd been on better terms. In fact, we'd just had them both over to our house for breakfast the previous weekend. So while dealing with my father was another story, I was happy that things with Tasso and Eleni were now cordial, especially for our daughter's sake. I turned to Alex. Do you mind watching Georgina for a few minutes so I can show Bianca around before people arrive? Of course I don't mind. I handed my daughter to her aunt. Georgina looked just like her mother, and I couldn't have been happier about that. She was conceived sometime before Bianca and I were married. We'd had a lavish ceremony in the city a couple of years ago. At the time, we didn't know that Bianca was already pregnant. The weekend after our wedding, we'd flown down to Palm Beach to pick up our wedding cake 1 year to the day from when we'd ordered it at the cake testing. The bakery delivered it to our private spot on the beach. We took pictures, fed each other a couple of slices, then transported the rest to a senior center down the road. Taking Bianca's hand, I led her down the hall to the music room. She jumped the second she saw it. Are you serious? Perfect, right? The Liza Minnelli statue finally had a permanent home, as did the Elvis painting from Jay's apartment. I'd picked up other similar pop culture memorabilia to finish off the space. A baby grand piano sat in the corner, along with other musical instruments. Finally, a place that makes sense for her, Bianca laughed. Right? It's like all this time she's been wandering around, looking for a more meaningful place to sneak up on you for the very last time. I pointed to the giant painting on the wall. Elvis is here too. Did you notice him? This is amazing, what you've done with this entire place. Pulling her close, I spoke over her lips. I'm glad I can still impress you, Mrs. Truitt. I stepped back to take her in. Her nipples were protruding through the black material of her dress. God, your tits look amazing right now. I feel like I need to suck on them. You compliment my tits every day. What's any different today? They're saluting me especially nicely, not to mention we're in that in-between time when you're not breastfeeding. I get them all to myself for a while. I bent down to gently kiss over her nipple and spoke into her chest. Have I mentioned I love your body, pregnant? A few times an hour, yes. Can we just keep having babies forever? Who exactly is going to birth these children? Well, I was hoping you would, my Greek goddess. She rubbed her 4 months pregnant belly. I think I'm done after this one. Two is good. I wrapped my hands around her ass and squeezed. You said you were done after one. I know. Then after I wasn't pregnant anymore and the heartburn was gone, I changed my mind. Well then, I'll just keep hoping that you change your mind 10 times over. Her eyes widened. 10? The truth? If you'd let me. Yes, 10. You're crazy. But honestly, I don't trust myself not to let that happen either. There are two main things working against me. One, as soon as I go off the pill, you just look at me and I get pregnant. Two, I can't resist you. You bat those blue eyes at me and all I want to do is make you happy. And the problem with this is, I joked, nuzzling her neck. I had to stop myself before I ended up with a raging hard-on in front of the New York media. Speaking of the media, Bianca still freelanced part-time for Finance Times, but only took local assignments now. Between Georgina and my needy ass, she didn't have time for much else. She knew I fully supported her going back to work full-time, if that was what she really wanted. But what seemed to be making her the happiest as of late was being a wife and mother. I certainly couldn't complain about having her there when I got home from work. I rarely worked late anymore, too eager to get home to my girls. I reluctantly gave her one last kiss. We should get back outside. People will be arriving soon. We emerged to find Alex following closely behind our daughter, who was racing around. What's Georgina playing with? Bianca asked. I thought we'd put all of the wooden figures in the display cases, Alex said. But it looks like she found one. Bianca rushed toward her. Those aren't toys. She's putting it in her mouth. It's okay. Uncle Jelani wouldn't mind, I said. When I took the drool-covered figurine from my daughter, I smiled upon realizing it was the giraffe. The more I thought about it, the more perplexing it was that she even had it. We'd definitely put all of Jelani's pieces into the glass cases. I'd overseen that process myself. I looked up at the recessed lights on the ceiling for a moment. I'd chalk it up to an insoluble mystery, even though, deep down, I really wanted to believe he was here, sending me his blessing. The local news reporters were beginning to arrive. I eventually took my spot outside, smiling for the cameras alongside my family as we cut the ribbon, marking the grand opening. Back inside, my father and Myra had just arrived, and I noticed them talking with Alexandra, who looked like she wanted to be anywhere else in the world but there. I made it a point to go over and break the ice until I was dragged away for some interviews. The camera light stung my eyes as it shone over my face. Three reporters shoved their microphones in front of me. I heard one ask, "Tell us why you decided to open up the center, Mr. Truitt." I cleared my throat and spoke from the heart. I wanted to give back to the community some of what Jelani had given me, a safe place to come and vent my frustrations, and where I could also discover my creative potential. When I first came to him for help, it was for the wrong reasons. I was trying to use the idea of honing an obscure artistic skill in order to woo a woman. I chuckled. Over time, I realized that the art in and of itself was so much more important than I ever realized. It was saving me from my own mind and allowing me to express my feelings in other ways besides words. It was, in a sense, a spiritual experience. The wood whittling had started out as a joke, but it was Jelani's entire life, and I was beginning to see why. Some people express love through words, others through actions, and some, we express it through art. In essence, art is love. I wanted to share some of the love that my friend had given me, because I've been blessed with an abundance of love in my life right now. I smiled. And I've become a damn good whittler, if I do say so myself. Let's just say one or two of the animals displayed might be mine. A camera flash nearly blinded me. "Did you get the girl in the end, Mr. Truitt?" I winked. "I did." After my press obligations were finished, I rounded up Bandit to look for my girls. Noticing that Bianca had taken a seat in the corner with Georgina, I took a moment to stare at them. "Look at them, Bandit. Look how beautiful. Can you believe they belong to us? I couldn't have possibly loved them more." If there was one word to describe how I felt about my life now, it was gratitude. I was just so damn lucky to have this beautiful family. And I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, I would never take it for granted. The scare we had only made us stronger. There was nothing that made you appreciate someone more than almost losing them. Bianca looked exhausted, and Georgina, whose cheeks looked like they were burning up, was coughing with a runny nose. I needed to get them home. If I was being honest, there was nothing I wanted more than to get out of here and spend a lazy Saturday lounging on the couch with my family. I lifted Georgina out of Bianca's arms. "Let's go home." Bandit took the opportunity to place his head in Bianca's lap. Between the three of us, she had her hands full. "You can't just leave, can you?" "I own the joint. I can do whatever I want. Things are winding down anyway." After saying our goodbyes to my father and Myra, the four of us quietly snuck out and ventured down the hall. As we entered the elevator, Georgina started to cry. Her medicine had worn off and she was done, so ready for a nap. Bandit was barking as he often did whenever she cried, which clearly demonstrated why we weren't getting much sleep lately. Right after the elevator doors closed, something unusual happened. The lights went out for about 3 seconds, then came back on again before we finally began to descend. Bianca chuckled. "Well, that wouldn't have been good." "No, it wouldn't have. As much as I appreciate the reminder of how we met, I'm not sure I could handle two babies screaming at the top of their lungs at once." She smacked me playfully. "You loved my balls and my screaming that day." "I did. I loved your balls from the moment I first met you, and I especially loved your..." "Be careful, she understands more than you think."
"Roof!"
"So does he," I added. We all packed into the waiting town car. After Bianca fastened Georgina into her car seat, our daughter was finally falling asleep. Halfway into the ride home, it was actually quiet. A thought occurred to me as I turned to Bianca. "You never told me what I was opening."
"What?"
"That fantasy from years back. You kept getting interrupted whenever you'd go to tell me about it." I rubbed her thigh. "What was it?"
"My fantasy at this very moment would be more along the lines of you opening a carton of ice cream and feeding it to me in bed while rubbing my feet. That sounds divine."
I bent my head back in laughter. "We can do that." She ran her fingers through my hair.
"Okay, you really want to know what it was?"
Leaning in, I growled,
fuck yes. Okay, so it started with you opening my... Shit! The town car came to a screeching halt. My arm instinctively reached out across Bianca's chest to protect her. Sorry about that, folks. Guy cut in front of me, so I had to slam on the brakes, Sam said. And that was the end of our peaceful quiet time. Georgina woke up and began crying hysterically. I bent down to kiss her head. Shh, it's okay. Taking out my phone, I quickly logged onto YouTube and pulled up the Chance Bateman channel. I scrolled down to the video of his baby girl laughing hysterically at the goat's noises, hoping it would help calm Georgina down. She took my phone in her tiny hand, but it didn't help. She started to cry even harder. Ruff! Bianca chuckled. That backfired. Now we have a barking dog, a goat saying bah, a baby laughing, and a baby crying. The truth was, I couldn't imagine my life without chaos. Couldn't imagine my life without her, without them, without this. These are the sounds of life, Bianca, I beamed. Music to my ears, Georgie girls.
This has been Mr. Moneybags, written by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward, narrated by Sebastian York and Andy Arndt. Text copyright 2016 by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward. Production copyright 2017 by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward. Sebastian York and Andy Arndt are members of SAG-AFTRA.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.